Mike's alive.
That is an accomplishment.
Sounds like I missed something. All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for an informal hearing on two issues for NSP, case number PU-15-683 and PU-15-684, renewable energy rider and transmission facility cost rider. So I don't have any opening comments.
Nor do I.
Okay, so this is Commissioner Cog's portfolio. I'll pass it over for you, and you can do the introductions and everything if you'd like.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I just had a clarification question. Are we going to do one, then break, and do the second one?
However you'd like to do it. It looks like the company has them set up that way.
Okay.
You got two separate.
Right from one to the other.
I think that's.
Have to break if you don't
want. No, I don't think we need to break unless you guys would want to. I figured we could just go through the first one, PU 15683, and then go from the PU 15684, if that's all right.
Sure.
I'd say if the first one takes more than 2.5 hours, then we should have a
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Well, before I have my comments, I guess maybe I'll turn it over to Dave and introduce his crew, and then we can go from there.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. We do have a few folks on the phone. I know at least one. So I think I'd like to start by just having everyone introduce themselves. Dave Cedarquist with Xcel Energy.
Ann Hoyer with Xcel Energy.
Allison Archer with Xcel Energy.
Michael Bliss with Xcel Energy.
And on the phone?
David Brock, Xcel Energy.
Okay. David is a transmission planning engineer with the company. Couldn't make the trip, but he's here to answer any questions that you have on the projects. We're pleased to be here. Thank you for the informal hearing agenda. Again, we appreciate this kind of venue. We're here to talk about our two riders, the renewable energy rider and the transmission cost recovery rider. This is our first use of the renewable energy rider. It was a tariff that was approved in the last rate settlement, and now we're going to utilize it to recover costs related to our Courtney project and our Border Winds project, both totaling 350 megawatts. That's our intent on the RER. The transmission cost rider, this is the second, our 2016 rate will be the second year that we have a TCR rider. And we're pleased to say that the adjustment will be a slight decrease in the TCR. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Allie's going to get us started with an overview of the renewable energy rider, and then Michael Bliss, rate analyst with Xcel, is going to talk about the calculation of the rate and the revenue requirements around that. So I'll pick it off.
If I can figure out how to
revving it.
Shoot it up at the sky.
Shoot it up at the sky?
Ceiling.
The projector, maybe?
The projector's up there, so that's where the...
No, it should go.
Are you hitting the side?
The side.
Yeah, it was.
Probably user error.
Probably not.
Is there two presentations or just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jerry, you grabbed. Okay. We handed out the two presentations and then also a list of the transmission projects that Dave will be covering. So.
Actually, can we just page along?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, if
sure.
We can't.
I think everyone has a copy, right?
Yeah, I've got the keyboard.
Okay. Just wave. The first slide is just the controlling statutes and the authority for this rider. And as Dave mentioned, this came out of the last rate case that we had in the settlement agreement from 2014, where we have listed the renewable energy rider, and specifically as North Dakota, as we've talked about many times, North Dakota law encourages the development of renewable resources in the state, and this rider was agreed upon in specifically for projects that are in North Dakota. And as Dave mentioned, we have two projects. Originally, when we were working on the settlement agreement, the Courtney project was not one that was going to be in this rider, but as we're all aware of, that project has been added and is being worked on, and I'll give you a little bit of an update in a second. So again, it's the two projects. So the Borders project itself, as we have up on the slide, that it's the two wind facilities not yet reflected in the base rates. We do propose that this would go into effect January 1, 2016, with recovery of about $2.2 million for 2016, about $0.2 million related to 2015 costs because of Borders going in to service now here in December, the initial RER rate being the 0.0936, about $70, not dollars.
Allison, can you refresh me again about the $2.2 million, is that North Dakota's share of a larger cost? And
that's the North Dakota share.
And then what are the percentages again? I always forget.
2.2 would be about a
1%
increase.
No. I mean of what North Dakota pays and how you jurisdiction the costs out.
About and that's
about 5%
for North Dakota, right?
I can get
the exact. And South Dakota is similar to that.
Yeah,
and then the rest will be. Does Wisconsin get much of this, or is it all the rest go to Minnesota?
15% goes to Wisconsin.
So if I take the higher math, that's 75%, give or take, for Minnesota? Okay. Thank you.
So again, the two projects being Borders and Courtney. Borders, as we're familiar with, is located up in Rolette County. There's 75 turbines, and it was developed by Res America. We are closing on that sometime this week where we'll take over operation. At this point, all the turbines are in operation for about the last month. We've run at about 146 megawatts, and we'll get up to 150 by December 15th. So they've been doing testing and doing some final punch list type of things. We will schedule some landowner meetings once we take over the project from Res America. The team's looking at doing that after the holidays in January because there is going to have to be some work done after the ground thaws to do some work on the roads and that sort of thing that just at this point in time can't be done because of the weather. But otherwise, it's just sort of punch list items that have to be completed. On Courtney, again, you're familiar with it being 100 Vestas 2-megawatt generators, a 200-megawatt project. It was originally developed by Geronimo, but as we're all familiar, we've taken over ownership with that. This is a real positive. Positive things have come out of this. We started work right after the regulatory approvals. The goal for this year before there could be no more work done because of weather was to have 60 access roads completed and 30 turbine foundations done this year. We have been able to get 100 turbine access roads installed and 60 of the 100 turbine foundations installed and backfilled. So the work is shut down on that type of work. They're still out there working on the O&M building and will continue to be doing that through December. But at this point, we're pretty ahead of schedule and below budget. And we expect then to remobilize in the spring for the more of the work being done there.
A good fall, wasn't it, for construction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're pretty happy about the position we're in.
All right, so the next slide is talking about the revenue requirement offsets that we have included in this rider. The majority of the rider is capital costs, but there are a couple tax-related items that we also have included in the rider that help significantly with keeping the rate down. The first item that I'll talk about is the PTCs, or the production tax credits. These are a federal tax credit, and these are based on wind production that we receive. And again, as mentioned, about 5% of those credits then are applied to the North Dakota jurisdiction. In 2016, Border has a significant amount of wind production since it will be in for the entire year. And so it has $990 million of a revenue requirement benefit based on that. And then Courtney is only going to be in service for the very last month of 2016, and that's the anticipation. So it doesn't have as big of an impact in the first year. Then there's also the North Dakota.
Before you go to that, can I ask you a question about production tax credits? Because I've never understood that. So let's just, for the conversation, presume it was all North Dakota and we don't have to worry about the 5% business. But so how is it determined? Is it based on the megawatts of wind?
Right.
Megawatt hours produced?
There's a tax credit per megawatt hour produced. Is it
just a clear delineated amount, so many cents yep. per?
I believe it's 23 cents or 2.3 cents per megawatt, per kilowatt. Okay. And so then we track monthly, you know, what the wind production is, and then we receive that benefit then as a federal tax credit.
So what does a federal tax credit mean? If you didn't have, it's a credit on your income taxes, or is it a credit on some other type of taxes?
It's a credit on income taxes, yep.
And what if you didn't owe as much income taxes as you have tax credits? Can you carry those over indefinitely or for a certain period of time?
Yep, we're able to carry those over. Right now, we're in an NOL position, so we aren't.
A what?
We're in a net operating loss position. So
me too. On the farm?
So all of those credits are deferred until they can be used. And then those will be credited in the future.
And is that indefinite?
Yeah. We have those.
Time limit when you have to use them?
I do not believe there is.
And can you sell those to someone else, discount them down and sell them to someone else that has income tax liability?
I would have to check on that, but I don't believe so. We have never sold them.
I'm not aware of
it. So I would guess I would have to check on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
As long as you are bringing up that, the question that I've always had about those is that you hear about some companies not being able to do it, or there's multiple companies involved because the tax credits are hard to apply somehow. And so that's why you see some kind of complicated financing in these wind farms. So I assumed that you couldn't carry them over, and that's why companies did that. So explain to me what it is, what is the complicated, what are the restrictions on those, and why is it that some companies can use them and make use of them and some can't, and so these projects often have complicated financing regimes?
Well, I'm guessing that the complication comes from companies being in a position where they can't use them immediately. I'm not sure why a company would never be able to use them. There's certainly differences for different types of tax credits. For instance, the other credit I was going to discuss, the North Dakota specific credit, is one that you can only use if you have the tax, you know, liability. But I would have to check into why there would be so much complication over not being able to use that. I don't know. We've never
had
that problem.
In our situation, where we're in a net operating loss position, we can't use them immediately. We do apply the reduction to the rate rider currently, but we also create a deferred tax, an offset to our deferred taxes on the balance sheet that then we can apply when we can utilize those tax credits on our calculating our taxable income.
And the reason why we've been in that position for, you know, a couple years now at least, is because of bonus tax depreciation, which, you know, has been going on either at 100% or 50% for, you know, at least 10 years now. And so as long as bonus tax continues to be passed, then we'll probably continue to be in a net operating loss. But again, as soon as that is, or even we could get out of a net operating loss in that situation, but that's kind of what's bringing us into that position. But eventually, we, no matter what, you do get out of that, and then you would utilize all of our tax credits.
Mm-hmm. I think what you're referring to, though, is if you're an independent power producer like Geronimo, they could sell their credits when they own, you know, when they were going to own it and have it as a PPP, a power purchase agreement, then they can do something with the tax credits as part of their financing structure for the project.
Well, they have to find somebody who can use them and yes. Then they resell them, or they...
Also, if you're a cooperative, you're non-profit, non-taxed. Okay. And so if you're going to invest in wind, you got to create a subsidiary or something to that's taxed so that they can take advantage of the PTC. So it gets a little complicated mm-hmm. there.
Okay, thank you.
So to stay with the complicated tax items, the North Dakota income tax credit is an investment tax credit from the state of North Dakota for anything in renewables. So, and we have listed solar, biomass, geothermal, and wind. So in this case, wind. And this credit, how we've calculated it for this rider is to estimate what the tax liability will be for our North Dakota jurisdiction. And then you use up as much of it as you can because the credit is large enough currently that we can't use all of it. So like in this case, we're only using it up to our estimated tax liability. And then come next year when the actuals come in for the year, we'll true that up to the actual amount that we use. So for 2016, it's smaller. It's $58,000, but then we're projecting that to grow in the future for this rider.
And that's the same thing? That's a direct credit on your state income taxes?
It's state income taxes, and so there's no, the 5% jurisdiction doesn't apply to this credit because it's specific. So we're giving you 100% of the benefit for that
and
tax credit.
And how is that calculated, how much of a tax credit you get?
I would have to check on how the amount of the tax credit is calculated. It's that is based on your investment in the wind farms. Our calculation of it, we weren't able to use the amount. And we're projecting to be able to use, we're not able to use them all in 1 year, so we're projecting to use it over like a 20-year span. And so because we're building Border and then Courtenay right after, the year after, Courtenay is actually only going to be able to contribute the very last year, the 21st year, to the credit because Border is going to most likely consume all of the tax liability. I'd have to get back to you on the calculation of the investment tax credit itself because that full credit is not really being used in the rider because only the amount that's...
It doesn't really impact this case, but I would like to know how sure. that's calculated. Thank you.
No, I think that's good because when you think about this is a staff recommendation, but this 70 cents per month per typical resident customer... If the tax policy wasn't in place, what would the difference be to that? I mean, would it be 8 cents? Would it be 12 cents? Just to kind of get a bracket for what the state tax policy is helping investment and customers.
This year, it's only $58,000 because of us not anticipating having much tax liability. But in the next year, it grows to be the size of almost the same size as the PTC amount. For instance, let me look at this quick.
This is about $1 million.
It grows to be $612,000. That's our estimate for 2017. Again, all these are our estimated tax.
It's about a quarter of the cost, though.
It is a significant amount. And then when you combine how PTCs are going to also grow as Courtenay gets in service and Border's fully running, there's a significant amount of tax credits as a part of this rider.
Yeah, if you could help provide something to Commissioner Christman's point, I think it'd be helpful for all of us.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that's even something as we get on to the legislature and they debate this, we can just not say we're for or against it, but say this is the impact to customers. You make the decision.
And all of these credits are, they're directly related to these specific projects,
right.
Which is why they're part of this rider. you have any other questions on the tax credits?
I don't.
Just a general one. The South Dakota policy is similar, better, worse than ours, and Minnesota similar, better, worse than ours?
Minnesota does not have the same investment tax credit. So I believe Pleasant Valley is built in Minnesota. We don't receive any benefit for that. South Dakota, I'm not sure. We don't have any wind farms built
okay.
there.
Thanks.
The PTCs obviously are shared.
Right.
Does South Dakota have income tax?
No. They don't have state income tax, no.
So there'd be nothing to credit about this.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Why do they not have as much wind, or why are there no wind farms in South Dakota?
There are. Remember that one at Highmore where those guys crashed into those cattle guys?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's as many, though.
Wind farms where they don't
have. There is one wind farm in South Dakota that we have a PPA with. I believe the wind farm is... It connects to our Split Rock substation.
Is that Minn-Kota or something?
Kind of straddles the border.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I was just curious. It doesn't tie back directly to this, but as we go forward with whatever happens with the Clean Power Plan, it'll be interesting to see where companies choose to build stuff, and state tax policy may have a bigger impact than what I thought it did.
I think we have better transmission here.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. The next slide is just a bar chart of all the different costs to kind of depict what I was discussing, where you have, you know, $2.9 million of capital costs, which include, you know, the return on the assets, the book depreciation, and the taxes. And then some other smaller items, such as property taxes, skipping across the O&M and some interconnection costs. But then you can see we have this first 2016 year, we have, you know, a $59,000 North Dakota ITC benefit and $1 million PTC benefit in that first year to bring the total cost down to $2.2 million.
I thought interconnection costs were a bigger factor than they are in this slide.
Those grow again too with Courtenay going in service in 2016, because it's only the 1 month in 2016. So when we get into 2017, that'll grow to a more significant amount as well, because those interconnection costs are just payments from us to, I believe, Minn Kota and to
forever
for the life of those assets. Yep.
I thought it was more of a one-time upfront cost. I didn't realize it was, that word, in perpetuity?
Essentially how it works is it does become like a lease type payment to them. And,
sure.
And we are involved in building the assets with them, but then in the end they own it and we pay them for the use of it.
Okay.
And so that the reason why that's so low is because it's just the 1 month for December of 2016. Any other questions on this slide? This next slide is just to talk about the revised filing that we did actually yesterday. Initially, we were going to refile for a IRS deferred tax ruling, and we in planning to file that, we then found more information about border winds being delayed till December this month. We initially had filed it to go into service earlier, so we also decided as long as we're doing the prorate update for ADIT for accumulated deferred taxes, we would update some of the other data. So we also moved the in-service date, which is why there's a decrease from our as-filed position to this revised position. And that was for 2015 costs being lowered for only having border winds in that 1 month. And then also on here, we have that calculation of the 70 cents a month impact.
So because this is a new rider, that is an increase to the bill of about 1%.
Now, is there an offset for fuel? Because we just recently did one of these for MDU, and there was an offset on fuel.
That's a good point. I don't think we specified that, but presumably these wind projects will take the place of higher cost energy from, you know, our portfolio, probably natural gas or whatever. And so you would expect that there might be a fuel reduction mm-hmm. in the fuel cost, but I don't think that have we done any of that analysis. So no. Yeah, you're only looking at the one part of the total cost. Bill here, so that's a good point.
How did we see that with MDU, Jerry? I mean, that was part of their filing.
I didn't do that filing, but I would expect that that would be reflected in the fuel cost adjustment. Cost of fuel would come down.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember it? I mean, it was right in the
yeah, I do.
Cover page.
They actually broke it out, so I think it's something you could put pen to paper and come up with, but it'd be very helpful for us to say, yes, this is going to increase 70 cents for the average customer, but the average customer would also see X amount in fuel.
So it might be a net decrease. I mean, I'm trying to remember when we were looking at these projects as...
I think that case...
Did we give an ADP on both of these beforehand as power purchase agreements? And I don't remember for the Border Winds, but because I'm not sure I was here then for that ADP. But for the Courtney, I think I remember the ADPs being like... a reduction. So with the power purchase agreement, it was a net reduction, and that's one of the main reasons why we were in favor of it.
That's a great point.
So
we can certainly get that information.
Okay, that would be good.
I have a question going a little different direction.
Go for it.
So I'm looking at this chart, and I'm just kind of for conversation, averaging out the difference between as filed and as revised. So it's about a tenth of a penny per kilowatt hour. And times the average usage of 750 is the 70, 75 cents, right? So if the production tax credit weren't there, but everything else were equal, and the production tax credit is 2.3 cents, then this would be 2.4 cents. Times 750, and so this would be like $15 or something increases. Am I reading that correct? And my point is, I'm trying to evaluate how important the production tax credit is to our consumers.
Yeah, it decreases costs by almost a third of what the costs are. Knowing that capital and the O&M are, you know, $3 million, but the in the end, the request is only $2 million. So it is about a third reduction due to those PTCs.
Is it fair, though, to evaluate by you would just add 2.3 cents to this 0.1?
No. That can't be right.
No. You have to use the number that they actually put in
the final. Your number here for the proposed rate is spread over all of their sales.
I believe what you would do is if you're looking, let's look at the 0.09 number that we have for our mm-hmm. revised. If the PTCs are a third of the cost or a decrease of a third of the cost, then that would be roughly 0.15 or 0.14 cents. And then multiplying that by the 750 then would get you to like a dollar. That was rough in my head, but.
A third.
It's a third.
As without the $1 million savings from the PTC, that top number, instead of being 2.161, would be 3.161 million.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give you...
Yeah, if we go back to this previous slide, middle column there, the PTCs is $1,033,000 down. That's what gets you to that far right column, the total of 2.1.
So why does that come up to a different amount than 2.3 cents if that's what it's based on?
I think I understand the question. Your 2.3 cents is the credit you get for each hour that these wind turbines produce.
Right, so if you didn't have that, wouldn't it cost that much more?
Well, we're spreading the other stuff over the total production from the company, not just the production from these wind turbines. So the 0.9 is from their total sales, the cost of this project over their total sales.
I understand what you're saying now, too. The 2.3, you're referring to the PTC credit. Mm-hmm. And so that's a total company benefit, too. So, again, we have to take the 5% of that benefit. And then to get to your revenue requirement, you take that tax credit and you gross it up for taxes. So it doesn't – it's hard to translate directly that 2.3 cents to what the revenue requirement decrease you're seeing here. But that 2.3 cents is or the megawatt hours is decreasing our ask by $1 million in the end.
The rate is to cover your costs.
Yep.
The rate is not rate is. Based on, I mean, it's two different rates.
No, I see this enormous amount that you're dividing by, this $2 trillion. That's all not from the wind farm. That's
oh, right.
Everything.
That's
why
rate.
I'm, yep. Okay. Yep. I didn't look at how big that number was. Okay, never mind.
But the safe calculation is a third. Cuts the cost in a third.
Right.
That's an easy way to talk about that. Okay.
All right. The last tab then that we have here is just another, it's a sort of a tracker view of what we're requesting. This is similar to a couple of the pages inside of the filing itself, but it just shows that we have some revenue requirements in 2015 for Border going in service, some tax credits then for PTCs, and then that balance of $225,000 that we mentioned earlier goes into your 2016 balance. And then when you bring in all your 2016 costs and credits, you're then anticipating to set your rate to recover that revenue requirement. And you're anticipating going forward to not have a significant tracker balance like we do this very first year just because there's no rate in place. And the $1,000 number just has to do with when you apply a rounded rate that you're setting to those sales that you were pointing to on that previous slide. But essentially going forward, you're always resetting your rate to calculate just to recover the costs.
Okay, anything else from the company?
Oh, that's all we have, I think.
I know that Sarah has a memo she prepared that we've all read through, and basically it says to me that, Sarah, you think this is a good idea for the commission to approve it?
I do.
Okay. Before I forget, Allison, will you offer this up as your testimony today?
Yes.
We'd be happy to receive it. I don't have any more questions unless Madam Chair or Randy?
I don't
either.
On this one.
So if you can get those two things we asked for to Jerry, we could maybe get this on our agenda for the December 60. Oh, I'm sorry, to Sarah. Yeah, don't give him to Jerry. He'll lose him. All right. Sorry about that, Sarah. So that's it, Madam Chair.
Okay. Sounds good. So you'll get us the offset. That would be the most important thing I'd like to have before we make a decision. What the fuel.
Fuel offset and the North Dakota numbers. Like we use roughly a third for production tax credit. What does the North Dakota number mean to you?
Well, and how it's calculated.
Yeah, of course.
Is it so much per kilowatt hour or what?
Sure.
All right, so that then concludes case number PU-15-683. And we'll just move directly into the next case, 684, the transmission facility cost recovery.